Sweet, sassy, molassy, brassy, classy, mango lassies from Tallahassee. Just random rhyming words. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 65, and of course, I am your humble host, Karen, and we are your allegiance of alluring alligators who love alliteration, allegories, and aluminium.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And Colin, you're finally back from vacation.
I am indeed. They let me go.
Where were you gallivanting?
I got kicked out. I returned home from my trip to Taiwan, which was fun. I've been there before. Always fun. Always find new things to share with you guys.
Okay, well, that's the important thing. Did you bring us any treats?
I did bring you treats.
Yay.
I was told I was not allowed to come back if I didn't have treats.
Not like Chris.
We had a really long talk about it.
We
spoke to immigration and gave them your picture.
So what did you bring us?
So I did bring back several sweet and salty treats, but I would like to do this as a little taste test, blind taste test quiz for you guys.
Ooh.
So we will get to that a little bit later in the program.
Oh, wow. We've never... we've done taste tests.
We ate stale bubble gum.
Yeah, we ate 30-year-old gum.
Hopefully this will be better than that.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
All right, of course, this is episode 65. And every fifth episode is our all quiz episode where each of us devise a quiz to quiz each other and you guys listener. So welcome to all quiz bonanza number 13.
Wow.
Lucky number 13.
Nice.
And let's, of course, start out our show with our general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. And here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card and you guys have your barnyard buzzers. And let's answer some questions. Here we go. Blue Wedge for geography. The Phi-Phi Islands in Thailand were the location for what Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
The beach.
Dana. Yes.
The beach.
The beach.
Huh.
All right. Pink Wedge for pop culture. Name two of the three cities where the first three seasons of MTV's The Real World took place. Two out of three.
Two out of three is New York.
Mm-hmm. City, yes.
New York City, yes. They have a city there now.
Sure.
New York City and San Francisco?
Correct.
And LA is the third.
Yep, LA is the third. Yeah. All right, Yellow Wedge. What international retail empire was founded by 17-year-old Ingvar Kamprad in 1943.
That is IKEA.
Yes.
Wow.
How'd you know that one?
This is a good trivia one. We may have even talked about it before together. I forget the pub quiz. The IK, his initials.
Yes. Huh. Ingvar Kamprad. IK, IKEA. God, he's 17 years old.
He didn't want to put the furniture together.
He really did it.
He's working at his dad's furniture place. And like, why don't we just make him put the furniture together? Stupid selves.
Yeah. I give you the pieces.
Yeah, I'm going to go sail in a fjord or whatever it is we
and eat some meatballs. Purple Wedge. On what Polynesian island can you visit the Paul Gauguin Museum? Famous painter.
Yes, that is.
Dana.
Is it Tahiti?
Yes!
Yeah. That's right.
Good
Tahiti.
Job, Tahiti.
He famously left his wife and children to go live in Tahiti.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. He liked the ladies there.
All right, Green Wedge for science. The largest Swiss Army knife has how many implements?
Huh.
And this is multiple choice. 21, 45, 62, or 87?
87.
87. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
The Wenger Giant, or I guess Wenger. Wenger Giant costs over $1,000 for 87 different functions. I wonder how big it is. It must be really big.
I've seen a picture of it. It's comically large.
Like, what other functions would you need? Yeah, exactly.
Because I bet those tools don't work that great.
It's large, and it's they're really thick, right? So they can fill the tools in there.
Oh.
Did you say the world's biggest Swiss Army knife is called the Giant Wanger? What is it called?
The
Wanger Giant.
The Wanger Giant.
The Giant Wanger.
Who would buy that for $1,000?
The Giant Wanger.
Someone would. Yeah. The Giant Wanger.
I just thought, who is buying the 87? Yeah, exactly, right. What is the 87 function Swiss Army knife a substitute for? not.
All right, simmer down now. Orange Wedge, last question. What baseball team was George W. Bush part owner of from 1989 to 1998?
The Texas Rangers.
That was close. Good job, you guys.
You're not just moving her lips.
They specify what place, but yes, the Rangers.
Yes, George Bush.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be Texas somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, good job, brains, and let's take the show on the road. Our all quiz bonanza number 13. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll go first, and I have a quiz entitled appropriately enough, Who's On First?
So, oh, no, is it all about baseball?
I don't know. I wouldn't do that to you guys. Okay. I wouldn't throw out an all baseball quiz. This quiz is about
baseball foods.
People on first covers of magazines.
Oh.
First, famous firsts in that sense. Other forms of entertainment.
We get burned by this.
We do.
All the time.
This is classic
pub quiz.
Pub quiz stuff. Yeah. So I'll give you guys these questions, and here we go. We'll start off with this one. This son of a famous Hollywood couple graced the cover of the first issue of TV Guide in April
1953.
Karen.
Liza Minnelli.
Not a bad guess.
Well,
it's a son.
As it turns
out, sorry.
Yes.
Liza Minnelli. Sorry, oops.
Actually female.
Wasn't paying attention.
Jaden Smith. But
son of a famous Hollywood couple. I was an infant when I appeared on the cover.
Oh. Is it Desi Arnaz Jr.?
Yes.
Wow.
Technically, he is Desi Arnaz the fourth. Yes, and it was a big deal. I mean, in 1953, you know, they were at the peak of their powers, and he did in fact appear. He did in fact appear on the show.
Held
not
America
as
in
himself.
Their iron grip. Look upon this power, baby.
This legendary rock musician graced the cover of the first issue of Rolling Stone magazine in November 1967. Chris, I'll take a guess.
Jimi Hendrix.
Not a bad guess. Jimi Hendrix was on twice in their first 10 covers, but it was not Jimi Hendrix. This person was also the member of a very famous rock group. Karen.
Mick Jagger.
Also not a bad guess.
But it's
also
called Rolling Stone.
Incorrect.
Rolling Stone.
Dana.
John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Oh.
Yes, John Lennon.
What group was he in?
All right. I'm going to shift here into comic vein a little bit here. So I want you guys to name any three of the five members of the Avengers depicted on the first issue of the Avengers comic book in September 1963.
Should we each name one or try?
Sure. Why don't we go in order until we?
We get
Captain
wrong.
America.
If someone wants to take a guess, if someone wants to guess that they know three,
Captain America.
Captain America was not.
Oh, the Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk
definitely
is one.
Was.
Thor is two.
Iron Man.
There you go. Is three.
Sorry.
Hulk, Thor, and Iron Man. The other two were
Ant-Man, yes.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. She always gets cheated. She is the legitimate founding member of the Avengers. She wasn't even listed.
Like probably the Ant-Man gets just as cheated at
two
and
six.
Well, they were married. They were a couple.
Were they?
So it's even worse. She was always.
God.
Oh, and Ant-Man's wife was kind of the level of attention that she got. So
right.
Yeah, no fair to be the Wasp. We'll stick with comics for a second. What color was the Incredible Hulk on the cover of Incredible Hulk number one in May 1962? So Karen is obligated to answer since she buzzed in first.
Red.
Incorrect.
Gray.
He was gray.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was black and white?
Incredible Hulk number one. He was originally gray because Stan Lee really wanted not to be aligned with any race or ethnicity. And just picked gray as a very neutral color.
Yes.
You know, his artist convinced him that gray was just, it didn't look good on the page. It was really boring and drab. And Stan Lee ultimately agreed. By the time the second issue came out, he was green. And consistently green, although they have, as you say, they've had crazy offshoots with Red Hulks and other gray Hulks.
Like a purple or something.
They've had all kinds of Hulks. More Hulks than you can shake up.
I got all your Hulks right here.
Yeah, I got your Red Hulk. I got your Green Hulk. All right, we'll close out here with this one. the Madden football series is, I think, safe to say, Chris, would you agree, probably the most successful video game franchise in terms of sales all time?
It is not, but okay. It's up there.
Okay. Yeah. Huge Madden series.
Huge colossus.
And there's a big deal every year now when it comes out. Who's on the cover? Who's going to be pictured on the cover of Madden this year? They use it for a lot of publicity, of course. So before it became Madden Football, it was just called John Madden Football. Mm-hmm. Who was on the cover of the first edition of John Madden Football in 1988?
Chris. I believe it was John Madden.
It was John Madden. Yes.
Yeah. What's your question?
It was John Madden.
You give us all this preface of like, the being on the cover. Darn it, Colin.
He was on the cover for many years, actually.
What?
Just John Madden. It was a long time before they even started sneaking generic-looking football players in. But the whole, really, the modern phenomenon of, like, who's the big famous athlete, really didn't start until 2001. Eddie George was kind of the first, all right, big name, giant prominent feature by himself on the cover.
Right.
Also, they're pumping them out, like, once every year, so there must be some sort of differentiating factor.
That's true.
A bunch of games with John Madden's face on it. I was like, which one's which?
That's true. When really the only change from year to year is how much balder and fatter he was going to get. I shouldn't slam John Madden. I'm sorry. So good job, guys. That's who's on first.
All right, who's next?
So in the English language, there are actually several three-word phrases that follow the following formula. The word little is the first word, then the name of a color, and then finally a word at the end.
So little color item.
Little color item. Some of these might not be nouns. So if I were to say Audrey Hepburn's fashion statement, everyone.
Little black dress.
Right, exactly. Okay, so now it gets a little bit tougher from here. A princely sports car. Karen.
Little red Corvette.
Yes.
Princely.
Yeah. Well-intentioned falsehoods.
Little white lies.
Little white lies, yes. A secret Rolodex. Dana.
Little black book.
Little black book, yes. Invaders. Colin.
Little green men.
Little green men,
Wow.
The smallest penguins ever.
Smallest penguins.
This might be tough. They are native to, apparently, New Zealand. Karen.
Little blue fairy.
It's little blue penguins.
They're also the called fairy penguins.
Yes, there are some other names for it. One of the names for it is the little blue penguin. The
are they actually blue?
In the world.
Is there blue?
Yeah, they're blue. Yep. Huh. Yeah.
I've seen them. Actually, they come home.
Sky blue.
They go out in the ocean. They would eat the food and they would come back to their nest and regurgitate.
Wow, so they just
every
sleep
night.
On the couch then? Or?
That sounds like New Zealand. Go
on, come back. As the Rolling Stones put it, Mother's Little Helper.
Little blue pill?
No. You have the color wrong.
It's the little yellow. What is it?
It's just the color. So
It's the little yellow pill.
The little yellow pill.
As the
Rolling
Stones sang about it.
Her little yellow pill. Yeah.
Little blue pill is a whole different kind of
thing. It's not Rolling Stones.
The little yellow pill. As distinct from Nuprin. Which had this slogan.
Little, yellow, different.
Exactly. Little, yellow, different. So that is the little color quiz.
Nice. All right. So I have a quiz for you guys. It's called, Do I Have All the Pieces? It's a quiz about board game sets and how many pieces. Not necessarily board games, also other games.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. So you all have pads of paper and pens. So I will give you the item or the set in the game, and you tell me how many pieces there are.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, for instance, chess pieces in a complete chess set. How many chess pieces are there?
32.
You have to write it down.
Oh, I thought that was an example.
Okay, well, sure. The pieces are 2 kings, 2 queens, 4 rooks, 4 bishops, 4 knights, 16 pawns.
Yeah.
How about pieces in a checkers set? Checkers in a checkers set. You got 24, 20?
Yeah.
And Colin says?
24.
24, it's 24.
Oh, my math was wrong.
Because it's alternating,
alternating
squares, so it's 4 per row, but it's 3
but there's
rows.
An extra row.
Right.
Yeah. Do you guys know what they call checkers in the UK?
Drafts.
Drafts. Yeah.
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 Petrol.
Drafts. And it's drafts with an A-U-G-H, which as a kid, I just could not get my mind around.
Drafts. I listened to the pronunciation and I was like, oh, I'm not going to say it like that. Cards in a standard bicycle card deck, including the Jokers.
Oh.
But not including the instruction cards.
Including the Jokers, not including the instructions?
Yeah.
Okay.
54, 54, 54, yes, 54. 52
okay.
in the standard deck, two Jokers.
Two Jokers.
You guys are good. Tiles in a domino set. Okay, Chris says 32, Karen says 64, and Colin says 28. It's 28.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Somebody knows it's dominoes.
Yeah, because when you play with four people, you have to drop down. You can't play with seven. Otherwise...
Somebody has played dominoes. Somebody knows how to play dominoes.
In the UK, they call them draft-a-nose.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
That would be awesome. Elements on the operation board.
Oh, man.
All right.
Of course.
This is going to be like a closest to.
Yeah. Closest to without going over. We'll do prices right too.
I'm sure I'm estimating high. All right.
Ready? Colin says 19. Karen says 11. Chris says 12. Chris is the closest. It's 13.
No! Oh,
right.
It was 12, but they added one more in 2004. Do you know which one it was?
Yes, we talked about this before.
We have talked about this before.
It's not the... what was it?
Something
It's
thumb,
something modern.
Texting thumb.
No,
or
not that not modern.
Screen
yeah.
eye.
Brain freeze.
Brain freeze.
Oh.
That's
right. The brain
like, it's not brain tumor. It's too
modern. That's too modern.
Yeah.
All right. Tokens in a standard edition of Monopoly. Player pieces. Time's up. All right. Colin says 6. Karen says 10. Chris says 8. Yes, it's 8.
Dog, race car,
yeah.
Thimble,
mm-hmm.
Ship, wheelbarrow,
shoe,
top hat,
iron.
What am I missing?
One of them was retired. Was it the iron that
they retired?
Iron.
They added a cat.
Oh, that's right.
What?
Yeah, they had to make room. That was, guess it was voted on
by the internet.
Of course,
so it's a cat.
Of course, it's going to be a cat.
All right, cards in an Uno deck.
Jeez.
Hold on.
Not jeez.
Right. So you're just going to have to estimate.
All
right. Price is Right rules. All right. Colin says 40, Karen says 72, Chris says 68. Karen's the closest.
Mm.
It's 108.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's a lot.
You're right.
Draw
yeah.
two, wild.
All the special cards.
Okay, draw two,
yep.
wild,
yep.
Pass or
skip.
Skip.
Skip. Yep.
Reverse.
Yep. And the best card of all.
Draw four.
How about, so this isn't a board game, how about the maximum number of clubs in a golf set?
Oh, that you're allowed to take.
Yeah,
there are limits.
All right. Colin says 10. Karen says 9. Chris says 15. It's 14.
Mm.
Wow.
But Chris went over, so
he it went over.
No, so
over.
I got it.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of the clubs in a standard set.
Well,
yeah.
It's
really
heavy. Thinking you could have 1 wood, 2 wood, 3 wood, and then the 9 irons. And then you could have a sand wedge, a pitching wedge, and a putter. But maybe you can't have 2 wedges.
How about, last question, how about tiles in the basic Chinese set of Mahjong?
Oh, snap. Okay. 1 to 9, 4, 6. Hold on. I'm doing math. 4, 2.
I'm never going to get it, so.
Wins times 4. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to approximate.
All right, there we go. Colin says 216. Karen says 256. Chris says 200. It's 144.
Whoa!
The basic set.
We all lose.
You can have different numbers. You can actually have 136, but 144 is the most common.
All right.
Those are like expansion packs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's 144 for the suits, for all the tiles in the suits, in the 4 suits.
Yeah.
Right.
The basic set.
Whatevs. All right, is it snack time yet?
Yeah.
Is it snack time? Can we take our snack quiz?
It Woo! Is taste test snack time.
Yeah!
All right, so just a quickly intro here. I have brought back varieties of well-known brands from Taiwan for you guys to sample without seeing the packaging, without anything. So I have some Pringles, I have some Doritos, and I have some Lay's potato chips, all in varieties marketed in Taiwan.
Okay.
Not flavors you can buy here, as far as I know. So, dear listener, I will tell you before the rest of the crew samples, so you know what the flavor is ahead of time, which I think will heighten the hilarity.
Okay.
So here we go. We'll start off with the first taste test.
We'll savor it, and then we'll think about it, and it can be a discussion. Yeah. Okay. It tastes like razors, Colin. All
right, so here's our first option. These are some Pringles. Yeah. So okay. Why don't you guys sample and tell me what flavor do you think these are?
The Pringles flavor is chicken soup.
There's a sort of a reddish-orange kind of thing going on in these. I don't want that to necessarily...
And I'll be eating them as well, too.
Oh, okay.
It tastes like the seasoning from instant noodles.
It just tastes like salt.
It's a little oniony.
If we just lick the seasoning, not eat the chip, because that would be distracting.
Daniel had a pretty good guess. Daniel, you're definitely in the ballpark, for sure.
Oniony, sweet onion or something like that.
So a lot of these treats, you know, are also Japanese. So, Chris, you may even be able to read some Japanese in some of these packages. Yeah. Oh, Karen's got a guess here before we reveal.
French onion soup.
It is gourmet consomme.
Whoa!
Chicken soup flavor.
Chicken soup, basically.
Yeah. Hold on. The picture is of a Pringles chip taking a bath in a bathtub, and the shower head is a soup ladle.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's intentional or not, but it does look like that. It's a giant Pringles chip in a bowl of soup.
You know what it is? When we see the picture, it makes it taste like what we're looking at.
Yeah,
right. The sight and the knowledge of what it's supposed to be affect how you...
Wait, what is this?
I think Dana's absolutely right. I think it really tastes more like instant noodle ramen powder than anything else.
It tastes
else.
Like ramen broth.
So chicken soup flavored Pringles. All right. All right, so cleanse the palates. Take a sip of your water here. Yeah. And we will move on to the second taste treat.
I just want to keep eating them. Yeah. So salty and delicious.
All right, we are now on to our second taste treat. These will be a variety of Doritos.
Oh.
The Doritos flavor is American Hot Wings.
It smells like Doritos.
No, first of all, they're shaped like lightning bolts.
Yeah.
Oh, these are good.
It tastes like the way Scratch and Sniff pizza Snickers smell is what it's...
They're a little spicy. Like they're a little spicy. Doritos spicy.
Okay. Okay.
Definitely a tomato and onion based.
Okay, so we got some sweet, spicy, tomato-y.
I want to say like wings or something, but what is it?
It don't taste like buffalo wings.
Mm-mm.
Oh man, you guys are dancing all around it.
Oh really?
This is American Hot Wings flavor.
Whoa!
You were right on it, Karen. Yeah, you were just, wings. Yeah. And it's got a picture of buffalo wings, with the ranch sauce and the celery. There's no mistaking that's what they mean.
They don't they don't taste like buffalo wings to me.
It's like more like barbecue wings.
Barbecue wings.
So, as far as I know, this is what Taiwanese people think that we eat out late at night in America, is hot wings.
And
not that far off the mark. Well, all right, you guys are faring remarkably well here.
We're doing pretty good.
I think I saved what might be the most strange flavor, at least not one that I associate with chips, for the last. We'll see how we go
Let's do this.
All right, well, here we go. This is our final taste treat. This is a variety of Lay's potato chips.
Okay.
The Lay's flavor is Kyushu seaweed.
This one is, truly a feast for the senses.
They're covered in seaweed. To be like black pepper or something.
Little
seaweed.
Dots.
Oh, it's little green flakes.
It definitely tastes like seaweed.
Oh, it's salty from the sea. It tastes fishy.
It's really good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have very quickly outed what this is. Yeah, it is not just seaweed, but Kyushu seaweed.
Oh, amazing.
So,
great.
You guys, from the sight, you could tell it was little seaweed chunks, and specifically Kyushu seaweed. Yes.
Yeah, in Japan, I've had, Hokkaido melon Kit Kats. They get really specific.
Well, also, the description specify the flavor is that they're also, charcoal, charcoal grilled seaweed. There is a smokiness.
Right.
It's true, and there's a little picture of a hibachi on there as well.
And Kyushu is one of the regions of Japan. And so it's sort of like geographically identified. Oh, this is Kyushu seaweed.
Well, you know, it's funny.
It's like MSG.
It's
so delicious.
Little seaweed sheets are fast becoming a treat among kids in the States, not Japanese kids.
True,
So good job, guys. You did, I would say, on the whole, very good to excellent job rating.
Yeah. I thought they were going to be weirder.
You know, there weren't that many just crazy, crazy ones. Like, I saw they had, a crab chip flavor.
Pizza.
Were all things that, especially, in the last few years, even American chips, they have pizza chips. I mean, we're selling tacos wrapped in Doritos, crying out loud in America.
Right.
So it was pretty tough for me to find just really wacky, goofy ones. But I thought these were three flavors that you, maybe in the buffalo wings, they might sell that here.
Thanks. Ooh. Thanks, Colin.
So I think we all agree the Kyushu seaweed potato chips are the best.
I like the chips, or the soup flavored chips.
Love MSG. It tastes so good.
Yeah, it does. It really
so
is.
So sweet on your lips.
It really does make things taste better. Yeah. It really does.
Umami.
All right.
Yeah, that was the tastiest break we've had in a while.
All right. I hope everybody enjoyed our break. We enjoyed it. Hopefully, listeners, you enjoyed it too. And you're listening to Good Job Brain. And this week is our all quiz bonanza number 13, where we make quizzes for each other. And it is my turn. I want to start off the segment with this quick question. Get your buzzers ready.
All right.
What American game show was once hosted by comedian Louis Anderson? All together.
Family Feud.
Yay, we did it all together right.
Wow.
And who hosts Family Feud now?
Steve Harvey.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's
Harvey.
Right. That's right.
It actually has been said that Steve Harvey is, quote, saving the show. Viewership went way up when he started taking hosting duties. And for good reason. He's quite the sassy character on the show.
He's a big personality.
Well, they're emphasizing... I mean, I watched, like, an episode that he did, and it was like... They're emphasizing the dirty jokes a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of dirty jokes.
In the show, previously they would sort of fly under the radar, you know, like you could think of a dirty answer, but now like the things actually have the dirty answers in them. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Which makes sense.
So let me describe, for those of you guys who are not familiar with the game Family Feud, let me describe the basic kind of game mechanic of the show. So two families or groups are on each side and they're competing against each other to name the most popular answers or responses to survey questions posed to 100 people. I think what I find it really fascinating is that unlike other game shows like Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there's no idea of the right answer. There's no wrong or right. And to advance or to progress, you have to guess what other people are guessing.
What do I think a supposedly average slice of America thinks?
You can have a fantastic answer, but if other people didn't guess it...
It's timed and you want to beat the clock, so you would just kind of say whatever's on your mind, but then also keep in mind that maybe that answer is just weird to your own personal kind of opinion, or you have to kind of keep in mind what are other people answering.
So you get a lot of people blurting out horribly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So... Let's play a little bit of Family Feud, everybody. I researched some of the odd or eccentric or just kind of like say what questions that have been on the show. I want you guys to first give me two answers. One answer is immediately what your instinct tells you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the second answer is what you think is the most popular answer when surveyed to 100 people.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let's write it down. So no buzzing.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Who is the celebrity you would most hate to sit next to on a long flight? Well, I'm going to share with you guys what my initial thought was. Okay. For me, it was Jay Leno.
Okay.
Huh.
All right, Chris, initial response.
Michael Moore is the first thing I thought of. But nobody's going to answer that.
Jennifer Aniston. Because whenever somebody says, what celebrity, like, she's always the first one that comes to mind.
Oh, okay.
And I also wouldn't want to sit next to her.
She's like the celebrity of celebrities.
Yeah.
My immediate answer was Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, what do you guess, Chris, that is the most popular answer from the survey?
I feel like the most popular answer would be Steve-O from Jackass, because he would probably be stapling things to himself, and I don't think people would really want to sit next to him. I personally would.
Gilbert Godfrey, because he has the voice.
That's good.
I put Donald Trump. I don't necessarily think he would be a bad passenger, but I think people don't like him.
Okay. The most popular answer with 12 people, that's the majority, is Roseanne Barr.
You know, I thought about it. Sure. That's funny. She ran through my head there.
Yeah.
The next, the number two place is, with 7 people, answered Jim Carrey.
I can see that, too.
All right, next one. Name a famous pig. What your initial response is, and then what you think people answered.
Okay. All right.
My initial response is Porky.
Ooh. Me too. That was my very gut response. Yeah.
I said Babe.
Miss Piggy was my first.
Oh,
Miss Piggy. Oh.
So what do you think people answered?
Well, to have another one, I put Wilbur.
Oh.
Porky.
I put Babe as my more considered answer, just thinking that younger people
okay.
might know Babe better.
But
I would
still say
think
Babe
Porky.
Is my considered answer.
Okay.
Porky's good, though.
Yeah.
Survey says, number one answer, Babe.
Ah.
44
yes.
people. And
I think it skews younger.
I think it skews younger, too. But 44 people, 43 people put Porky.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, we're all over this, then.
Yeah.
Very
good. No Wilbur's, though?
No, there's Miss Piggy, which is the next one, which is three people.
So
yeah.
really localized around Babe and Porky.
The famous pig club. Not a big club, yeah.
They should team up on Broadway. All
right, don't forget initial response and then popular response. Here we go. Name something women get excited about. This is also like a personality test, kind of. Like, shows
right.
your character.
Yeah, what do you think of women?
Yes.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
It shows how unintentionally sexist. Yeah. This is one of those things where I have a feeling that we're going to be both sexist and correct.
So, my initial response is a sale.
I said shopping.
I said shopping.
I said shoes.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think people answered?
I put, if it's not shopping, I put going out, as if, like, going out for a night out of town.
I put hunky guys, because I feel like that's what would show up on a Family Feud board.
I put chocolate.
Kathy. Yeah.
I don't think that's that crazy.
That's not.
Sale, shoes, chocolate,
right,
going out.
All right.
Hunky guys.
Well, what is it?
Jewelry.
Really?
Oh.
Well, la-di-da.
Yeah. Didn't
nice.
Even cross my mind. This one's a bit of an oddball. If you inherited $1 million tonight, what's the first thing you'd do tomorrow morning?
All right. I think I got it.
My initial response is go eat breakfast.
You're going for the literalist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gut response was buy a car.
So I thought other people would say, quit my job. I wouldn't quit my job, but I felt like people would say that.
Yeah, the first thing that came to my mind was quit your job
yes.
as an answer.
Yeah.
Because I think I've just been so conditioned of I'm going to quit my job.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing that popped in my mind. But then my considered answer of what I think maybe higher up is I put buy mom a car / house.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, buy mom
house.
A car.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
well,
no,
I was just trying to
had
think, yeah.
my considered answer after buy a car was quit my job.
Oh, the reverse. Survey says most popular answer, buy a car.
Makes sense.
Very American.
Makes sense.
It didn't even cross my mind. Name something that's so noisy you wish it had never been invented. So specific.
Yeah.
It's like,
I feel like it's just
never
invented. You to an answer. Like,
yeah. My gut reaction is babies. Because they are noisy.
Yeah. Both my gut and considered answer were car alarms.
Oh,
that's good. My immediate answer was lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make that my second answer, but hearing Dana's car alarm, I bet that's right.
I also thought of vacuums.
Because I was trying to think of something that you really wouldn't want to live without. You know what I mean? Like, we all say, like, oh, those damn airplanes, but you don't want to have no airplanes.
Mine was Vuvuzela. That was my initial response. I was like, what is the loudest, most annoying thing?
Right.
Okay, top three answers. Number one, motorcycles.
Okay.
Which makes sense, because you're right. It's not everybody.
Right, the average person doesn't ride a motorcycle.
Yep.
The average person gets annoyed by the sound of motorcycles.
Number two is very specific. Rap music.
Rap
music.
I know exactly who they were talking about.
Number three is jackhammer.
You know, I thought about that, actually. I just didn't think enough people encounter jackhammers.
Yeah,
but maybe, I guess, working in the city.
When you do, you know it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's true.
All right, last question. This is really weird and random. Name me something Bill Gates cannot buy.
Man, how metaphysical is the survey audience feeling?
My initial response was Apple.
Okay, yeah, true.
Could, though.
Might be difficult. Yeah, he probably could do it if he really wanted to.
All right, initial response.
Okay, well, the first thing I said so that I would make sure this would be aired on Family Feud was a woman's touch. But But then reconsidering this, he probably could.
I'm fairly certain that there are places.
Also,
in
he's
the world.
Married.
Yes.
But then I said love because I was thinking of the Beatles,
yeah,
and I bet it shows up on the list.
I said love as well.
Yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind was fashion. Like, you can't buy a sense of fashion.
But he could.
So. But then my more considered answer was happiness.
Yeah, considered answer was
happiness. Buy happiness.
Number one answer, 29 people, love.
Mm. Right.
Okay.
Number two, happiness.
Yeah.
Number three, country.
Yeah, country as well.
Country.
Look, I wrote a country. Yeah.
I think it means
think
our country.
By a country, just not yeah,
our
US.
Country. There you go. Awesome job, you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
Little random
so
family
not
feud.
Go on the family
no,
feud.
We should not.
No, apparently we would not.
No,
do a good
I
job.
Will do
if,
really bad.
If we go on the family feud, let's not throw out our first instincts. So, over the course of these many episodes of Good Job Brain, we have done First in Line, the famous first lines of movies and books and things of that nature. We've done Last in Line, famous last lines of
uh-oh.
Written pieces of things. So now it's famous lines from somewhere in the middle.
exactly in the middle, because I'd be super impressed.
No, somewhere in the
yeah.
somewhere
okay.
in
I think
the,
we made that
somewhere
joke.
In the
yeah.
body. Yes. What's interesting about this is these are going to be some very famous movie quotes, and I'm quoting these because it is fascinating how just a few well-placed words can bring to life an entire universe.
Mm.
And so you may find these a little on the easy side, but importantly, as with all good quizzes, there is a theme attached to these, so I want you thinking about the theme.
All right.
And if you know what the theme is before the quiz is over, you know, definitely say, like, I know what it is, just to sort of mark your territory. That's fine.
Okay.
Pee on your tree.
Yeah.
Okay. Life is like a box of chocolate. Dana.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, yes. Hello, Clarice. Karen.
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs, uttered by the immortal Hannibal Lecter. We're going to need a bigger boat. Colin.
That's Jaws.
It is Jaws, yes. Okay.
All right, I know the
mirror,
know the
mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all? Karen.
Snow White.
Snow White and the Seven
Dwarfs.
Yes.
The film. Okay. This is a little tougher. Badges. We don't need no stinking badges. Dana?
Troop Beverly Hills.
It appears in Troop Beverly Hills. It is a homage to...
Often referenced. I believe it's from Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Treasure of the Sierra Madre, yes. Referenced in Blazing Saddles.
Yep.
Referenced Patches. We don't need no stinking patches
yes,
in Troop
I've
Beverly
heard
Hills.
Matches.
Yeah.
We don't need no stinking matches.
Oh.
Badgers.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Karen?
A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men, yes, yes. Shouted from the witness stand. Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson? Dana?
The Graduate.
The Graduate, yes. If you build it, they will. Colin?
That's Field of Dreams.
It is Field of Dreams. Play it again, Sam. Karen?
Casablanca.
Casablanca. Do you feel lucky, punk?
Oh, which one?
Colin?
I believe that was Dirty Harry.
That was Dirty Harry, yes. So, that's our quiz. Can anybody guess the theme? Do you guys think you know the theme?
Yes.
Karen says she thinks she knows it. Colin, how do you feel?
Honestly, I stopped paying attention when Karen said she knew it.
Okay. Dana?
Oh, yeah, I think I do.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to write down what you think the theme is? You can all take a guess at what the theme of this famous, famous movie quotes quiz is. Do you know... Listener, John Q. Public, driving in your car to work. There's a couple themes. There is one major overriding theme.
Okay.
Yes. There's one big one.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking it was tied to the theme songs of the various movies.
I wrote movies based on literature books.
That is not the theme. Dana?
They won some kind of Academy Award.
That is not the theme. I'll read one more
okay.
very famous, often quoted line from a movie.
All right.
Then maybe this one will be make it a little bit more obvious. Okay, ready? Luke, I am your father. Karen? Yeah.
It is on the AFI's most memorable movie quote list.
That
wait,
was from
well,
the...
Well, first of all, what movie was it from?
That was from The Empire Strikes Back.
Sure it was. Karen, do you know...
Are they all movies scored by John Williams?
They're not all movies scored by
but
John
a lot
Williams.
Of them are.
Yes.
Well, the first thing is, yeah, something with the music. But no,
yeah,
they all have
yeah.
famous score.
Would you like me to give it to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. I tried my best. But these are all misquoted movie lines.
Okay, so
these lines ever appeared in these movies. They're all misquoted.
No way.
When you got to Casablanca, I want to mark my territory.
Me too.
Now.
Okay,
I didn't want to jump in and ruin your quiz. I was gonna save an actually for the end because that was the only one that I knew was false.
Okay.
And again, like the Luke, I am your father. Like again, that is also a misquote. Yeah.
Yes. So Forrest Gump says, "My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates.
Not life
like,
is
like a box of chocolates."
Wow.
Hannibal Lecter never says hello, Clarice.
Really?
He does at one point say good evening, Clarice, but he never says hello, Clarice. It's you're going to need a bigger boat, not we're going to need a bigger boat. It's not mirror, mirror on the wall. It's magic mirror on the wall. And everybody just says mirror, mirror for some reason.
Wow.
In Treasure of Sierra Madre, they say badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
That's great.
It's not you want the truth. You can't handle the truth. One character says, I want the truth. And then the whole line is,
you can't handle the truth.
The line from The Graduate is, Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me, aren't you? In Casablanca, as Colin pointed out, it's play it once, Sam, for old time's sake. Play as time goes by. Field of Dreams, it is, if you build it, he will come. Dirty Harry never says, do you feel lucky, punk? He says, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
Well, do ya, punk?
Right. And finally, Darth Vader never says, Luke, I am your father, even though people always say, Luke, I am your father. Now, what people have surmised about all of these is that, okay, so for example, no, I am your father doesn't make any sense out of context because you don't know who's saying what to whom and what no is in reference to. It needs another line for context. So all of these misquotes are people recontextualizing the movie and reworking the quote into something that works as a little soundbite by itself.
Yeah. Wow!
And also, I mean, a big part of this is also that, by and large, almost all these quotes are from an era when it was not easy to check quotes. I mean, today, I'm being totally serious. Like, today, it's very easy to go online and double-check the accuracy.
True. Oh, you could easily get into a bar fight with somebody over whether or not Darth Vader said, Luke, I am your father, or said, no, I am your father.
Right, but short of going down to the video store and renting it yourselves, yeah.
Exactly. The easiest thing was to just start throwing punches. And also, I mean, something else I came across is, although two characters say the phrase, may the force be with you, in the first Star Wars movies, Obi-Wan Kenobi is not one of them. He at no time ever says, may the force be with you.
Who does?
One of the admirals, I think, does.
Yeah.
There's like one guy who says it, and then Han Solo does at the end of the movie.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did not see that coming. Wow, you fooled us all. All right, we're coming close to an end. And Colin, you have a last trivia segment for us, last quiz segment?
I do. So as I was traveling around a lot recently, I was trying to think.
You sound so continental. As I was traveling around.
As I was circumnavigating the globe in the Spruce Goose.
I got to thinking about internationalization. And
I said to my manservant.
In particular, I was spending a lot of time on the internet, got to thinking about domain. We have the .com and .gov and those regular, what we call top-level domains.
Yeah.
There are also country code domains.
Yes.
That every country has its own two-letter domain code.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a quiz for you called Out of My Domain. And all of these questions are geared around your knowledge and perhaps your ability to guess country codes around the world.
Right.
And there's some interesting trivia caught up in some of these. It's really fascinating. So just very quickly, for a few examples, some of the two-letter country codes are very make a lot of sense, especially if you're an English speaker, because they are without a doubt sort of oriented toward English speakers. But a lot of them are keyed toward the languages spoken in that country. So let me give you a few examples. You know, like .pk is the country code for Pakistan, and .mx is the two-letter country code for
Mexico.
Right. A lot of them make sense, especially if the name of the country is the same as it is in English in particular. Spain is
.es.
Yes. Right, because for España.
Okay.
All right. So you guys kind of get the gist here. So some of these are a little tricky. We'll do this lightning round style. So I'm going to read them off, and if you guys know it, just buzz and say it. I'll give you the two-letter country code. You tell me the country represented by that country code.
All right,
here we go. .it.
Italy.
Correct. .al. Chris.
Algeria.
Not Algeria. Chris again.
Albania.
Albania. Australia.au. All right, which one is it? Which one is it, Karen?
Australia.
It is Australia. Anyone know what Austria is?
If I had a guess, A-T.
A-T, it is. Austria's A-T. Australia's A-U. .va. Chris.
The Vatican.
It is the Vatican.
Wow!
The Vatican. .dj. .dj. Dana.
Djibouti?
Djibouti.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
.dj. All right, we're going to mix this up a little bit. Who knows what the two-letter country code for China is? Karen.
CH.
It is not CH. Dana.
CN.
It is CN.
Oh.
Yes, for People's Republic of China. .ch comes from the country's official name, which is Confederatio Helvetica.
Oh.
Karen, I think had a guess.
Switzerland.
It is Switzerland. Yes, .ch is Switzerland. That's a really tricky one. All right, very quickly, a couple double-letter ones here.
Oh.
What country is .mm? It is an Asian country, Karen.
Myanmar.
Myanmar. Oh, nice. Yes, Myanmar is MM. What country is .bb? Karen again.
Barbados.
Barbados.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Here's a good trivia one. The country code .dd was proposed. It was never actually implemented. It's one letter away from an active domain. Karen.
Germany.
Yes, yes, DD was proposed for East Germany. Yes, from Deutsche Demokratische Republik.
Oh, wow.
And the Germany reunified before they had a chance to actually put it into widespread practice. So .de for Deutschland now covers all of what was formerly East and West Germany.
Wow, cool.
All right, very quickly here, we'll close out here with some examples of two-letter domain codes. For the most part, the countries that the codes are issued to, the countries control the codes. And for a lot of countries, you can't register those domains unless you are a resident or doing business in that country.
Mm-hmm.
There are several examples of countries that have licensed out the ability to register domains in that country. Sometimes it makes a lot of money for the country. Sometimes it's just another revenue stream. So I'll give you guys one example. If you guys post links on Twitter or on the web, you may have used Bit.ly before.
Yes. Yes.
So what country is the .ly domain?
Oh, wow.
Chris.
Lithuania?
Nope.
Liberia?
Nope. No. It is Libyan. .ly is the country code for Libya.
Got it.
And through arrangements with domain resellers and licensors, they have opened up a chunk of the domains that Bit.ly, an American company, uses to do link shortening.
Yes.
Some people actually don't like the fact that using Bit.ly is, in some sense, supporting the Libyan regime. It's not as big a deal now that Gaddafi is out of power.
Right.
But Bit.ly does, in fact, maintain other non-Libyan domain servers.
Wow, that's so clever.
Yes, yes. Again, let's stick with Twitter and link shortening. If you post photos on Twitter and other services, you'll notice that the link is a .co.
Mm-hmm.
T-co is Twitter's link shortening. There's also Overstock uses O-co.
Mm-hmm.
What country is .co?
Croatia?
Not Croatia.
Oh.
Czechoslovakia?
Not Czechoslovakia.
Which is not even a country.
Colombia.
Oh.
Colombia is .co. And again, they have licensed out the .co domain to a company that specializes in reselling.
Wow.
Here's my favorite example of this, though, and we'll end on a very uplifting note. .tv. Dana.
Tuvalu.
Oh,
yes. It's not Transylvania?
.tv domain is one of the primary means of revenue for the country of Tuvalu.
Oh, that's great.
In the late 80s, a very forward-thinking investor
negotiated
the rights to .tv to resell those to companies. As you can imagine, particularly in English, TV has a lot of cachet.
My company is .tv.
There you go. That's right. So you are contributing to the well-being of the Tuvaluan people. $50 million deal spread out over several years when they first licensed it. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but given the size of Tuvalu, and compared to what their gross domestic product is. So this is a feel-good story that the government realized we don't have need for all of these domains necessarily.
For our little...
We don't need all the infinite domains that could precede .tv,
right.
So let's
and
license some of them out.
Most of the networks, most of the pro sports teams will all have their .tv, and you're supporting Tuvalu.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a flavor of the fun stories hiding beneath international domains.
And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot about domain names, movies, misquoted things, chips, of course, chips, Family Feud, and more. And you guys can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.